Welcome back to Take 10. I'm Aiden, and joining me today are Matt and Alex. We're going to be recapping the NFL season at that midpoint thus far in today's episode, discussing some of the big stories that have caught our eye. Each of us is coming to you with some of our biggest surprises and biggest disappointments from the 2020 NFL season thus far, including everything from divisional dogfights to struggling quarterbacks and coaches that probably should be fired. Matt, Alex, how are you guys feeling today? You ready to talk some football?
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm so ready.
Awesome. Love to hear it. Let's just jump right into it. Alex, why don't you hit us with your first biggest surprise so far?
Yeah, so definitely my biggest surprise this year is the benching of Ryan Fitzpatrick for Tua Tagovailoa. I think this was such a shocking move. You know, as a Jets fan, I watch the Dolphins every week, and they've been a pretty competitive team this year. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick has looked like his old self. You know, he took that Jets team back in 2015 almost to the playoffs with a 10-6 record, and he looked like that Fitz again. You know, he's putting his body on the line every game, and they're at a 3-3 record by going into that week 7 bye where they benched him. And, you know, that's not a thing that you expected from a Dolphins team that hadn't been 500 in years, and they're ahead of the Patriots. You know, who would have thought that? And Fitzpatrick, you know, has an 82.5 QBR. He has 1,500 yards, 10 touchdowns. There's no reason for them to bench him, especially with a team that is trying to turn it around. You know, Brian Flores is a new coach, so he's trying to make a good impact on this team, you know, maybe sneak in with the expanded playoff. And the fact that they're going to go to a rookie quarterback, you know, coming off an injury with no NFL experience in a playoff situation, you know, because they're trying to make this final push, it just doesn't really make too much sense to me. So I think that Fitzpatrick was definitely the move to stay with if they want to try and make the playoffs. Maybe they see that as their way of, you know, transitioning to next season. They think they're really going to make that push next year. But to me, I still think the Dolphins were definitely in a position to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, like, this move first surprised me because Fitzpatrick was playing so well and leading this, you know, mediocre Dolphins team to some great wins. Even after the game against the Rams, I mean, Tua didn't look that good. He only threw for like 98 yards, and they really only won the game because Rams offense was kind of struggling and their Dolphins defense played very well. But like, you know, as the season progresses, Tua could get better, and this could look like a great move by the Dolphins front office and GM and Brian Flores. But you really don't know because it's very hard to put in a rookie quarterback who was injured his final college season, putting him in right in the midst of an NFL season that's so different because of COVID. I don't know. This could backfire. It could go well. I don't know after 1 week, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be the first to say I love Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's been fun to watch. He has this really infectious energy. He's just a very positive presence in the NFL overall. Endless respect for the dude. But it was time. This Dolphins team is, even if they are making the playoffs and they have to get past the Bills first in a pretty loaded AFC, they're getting out in the first round. And like, what does that really do for your franchise as a whole, especially when you're locked in this timeline of building for the future? They still have a ton of draft capital, and Tua needs that experience as soon as possible. The more experience they can get him, the more chemistry he can build with this roster, I think the better. You expect him to step in and be a franchise quarterback and a leader, and I don't think he's going to be on the fastest path to doing that if he's sitting behind Ryan Fitzpatrick the entire season or maybe coming in for a Week 17 game. But honestly, I agree with the Dolphins for this move. I definitely get the sentiment. You want to make the playoffs. This team has been locked in futility for a while. But hey, there's a lot of rookies balling out this year, so maybe Tua can still take them to the promised land.
I really like that point that you made to say that, you know, they might not make it past the first round this year. However, I still think that Ryan Fitzpatrick, no matter the game that you're in, he is going to put his body on the line. He's an excellent leader. He's going to give them a shot every single time they're on the field. And taking that away, regardless, you know, of whether they're putting in this rookie, I don't think it's the move for them right now. I certainly think going into next year, that could be something ideal. But it's not like Tua is sitting behind an inexperienced quarterback or like a mediocre veteran. He's definitely learning. He's learning how to be that guy. And I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to give them a shot, especially when they've had so much, you know, so many hardships over the past couple of years. So I think definitely making the playoffs and building that culture for this team is the way that they need to go about it at the moment.
Fair enough. You know, I definitely see that point. And, you know, I wish Ryan Fitzpatrick all the best. Maybe they could have traded him to a team that would have utilized his starting ability or used him as a backup. But regardless, I do agree there's a lot of different ways you can interpret this move here. Now, for my biggest surprise, I'm going to talk to you guys about how awesome the NFC West has been, all right? I'm just going to run down each and every team real quick. You've got the Seattle Seahawks. They're letting Russ cook, finally. This man is unlimited. And Pete Carroll has just been allowing him to unleash his talent and just wreak havoc on the NFL. He's got an insane receiving tandem. Chris Carson is one of the scariest running backs in the league when he's healthy. And I love this team's offense. I love this team's culture. I love this team's coaching. Their defense has been letting up points, but they usually figure it out by the end of the year, especially with Jamal Adams coming back. This team is scary. They've got Super Bowl aspirations. I fully could see them making it there. Meanwhile, you've got the Arizona Cardinals, kind of this young up-and-coming team, mostly behind Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, just lighting the league on fire. Again, offense first, not as great defense, but when the offense is this good and Kyler Murray is this eight-dimensional of a player, he can run, he can pass, he is incredible. The Cardinals offense with Cliff Kingsbury behind the helm are just super scary to play against. Then you've got the Rams and 49ers, kind of the second tier of this division, but both still have playoff upside. The 49ers have been injured to all hell and really need to get healthy, but we know what they can do when they have a healthy defense. And the offense can figure it out because Kyle Shanahan is great at getting the most out of his running backs. Then you've kind of got the Los Angeles Rams. They just lost to the Dolphins, as we mentioned. They're sort of a 9-7, 10-6 type team. They play really well. They don't make a ton of mistakes. They have an awesome defense. But this team's really going to go only as far as Jared Goff can take them. And it kind of seems like the league has figured out how to stop Jared Goff. So regardless, all of these teams, very competitive. And down the stretch, as we get some more interdivisional games, this division is going to be a dogfight. Now, guys, what do you think? Who do you think is kind of the favorite coming out of here? What are your guys' predictions? Do you think we could get three teams from this division?
Well, the favorite in this division is definitely the Seahawks. The Seahawks are arguably a top three team. Not arguably. I think they're definitely a top three team in the league right now. They are lighting it up. MVP Russ is back. I like that you say, like, this dogfight, this division between the Cardinals and the Seahawks looks awesome. It's just so fun to watch every week. And, you know, now that Russell Wilson has a second weapon in DK Metcalf that, you know, he hasn't had in the past, there's really no way to stop him. And they have this ground game. Even DJ Dallas last week without Carson was playing pretty well. They're able to step up when they need it. And that team just looks unstoppable. That offense is on fire. And, I mean, you could talk similarly about the Cardinals. Maybe they're not at the caliber that the Seahawks are. But the Cardinals have DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk. Kenyon Drake is out now. But Chase Edmonds looks really good. And, you know, Kyler Murray has been unbelievable this year. So those two teams are definitely playoff favorites this year, and seeing them both come out of the same division is pretty awesome. As for the bottom two teams, you know, the 49ers look like they're on their way out. You know, they're going to have to go into maybe cut some salaries for next year. But with Kittle and Garoppolo going down, it seems really tough for them to make the playoffs. However, the Rams, you know, they're an 8-8 team with upside. And they did lose to the Dolphins this week, but I could certainly see them sneaking in, especially with a weak NFC East. You know, there's a lot of potential for those teams to sneak in this year.
Yeah, I mean, there is no argument that the NFC West is by far the best division in football right now. I mean, you still can't make an argument for all four teams to make the playoffs, even the 49ers, who are injury-ridden this year. But for me, there's two clear-cut teams who are going to make the playoffs, and it's the Seahawks and the Cardinals. Alex mentioned already, Seahawks are definitely a top three team, I think, behind the Steelers and the Chiefs in the NFL. I just really love Pete Carroll as a coach. His system is unbelievable. He churns out great teams year in, year out, no matter who is on his squad. I think Russell Wilson is a definite MVP candidate. Their defense is always good. This year hasn't been so great, but come playoff time, I'll bet they'll fix whatever's wrong with it and they'll be solid. And for the Cardinals, I predicted earlier in this this podcast season, I'd say, that they'd be making the playoffs and make the conference championship. I still believe that. I love the Cardinals. I think Cliff Kingsbury's doing a great job there with Kyler Murray, and that entire offense has just been a juggernaut this season. Their defense has even been good too. Isaiah Simmons is a baller. I love what they're doing down there in Arizona. I definitely think Seattle and Arizona will make it out of this division. Maybe the Rams or 49ers, but I'm more confident in Seattle and San Francisco.
Yeah, I think you guys have me convinced. The Seahawks and the Cardinals are some very upper echelon teams. The Cardinals especially, they've had a couple stumbles, but that's kind of what happens when you have a young team. I think they could make a kind of surprising playoff run just because Kyler Murray is kind of the unsolvable quarterback of this year. You know, a year ago you had Lamar Jackson, who we'll get into in a little bit, and 2 years ago you had Patrick Mahomes, and I think this year this is kind of the Kyler Murray year where he is just very difficult to solve as a quarterback, and he can just exploit your team's defense in too many ways. So, you know, I'm excited to see the rest of these games moving forward. They're going to be a lot of fun, especially if they're anything near the quality what we got with Seattle versus Arizona part one.
Yeah, I definitely think that the NFC West is going to be a great, great division to watch second half of the season. But moving on, I think we're moving to another great division here, and that's going to be the AFC North. I'm not going to talk about the Steelers, who are doing great, but more importantly, I'm going to talk about the Cleveland Browns, who have been making a lot of noise this season. They're now currently sitting 5-3 after a tough loss on Sunday against the Raiders 16-6, but they've still been playing some solid football. I think Baker Mayfield has definitely taken a step this year in his third year and has looked great. He's looked confident in that pocket. And I think Cleveland fans have been looking for a coach like Kevin Stefanski for years. I mean, this franchise has just suffered year in, year out with terrible coaches. Freddie Kitchens, I mean, was just awful last year. He made something out of nothing. He basically made the Browns look awful with a great supporting cast. And I think that Kevin Stefanski has definitely utilized his players a lot better this season, especially their defense with Denzel Ward, Myles Garrett. I think it looked unbelievable. Although Myles Garrett is technically injured, he is going to be probable this week. I think he's cleared to play. So they should be good. He's always Defensive Player of the Year candidate. And I just love Baker and Jarvis' connection. It's awesome. Nick Chubb in the backfield will always be that red zone threat. Losing OBJ is going to hurt because he's such an unbelievable player and a dynamic player. But I really think that Baker has taken that next step and that defense does look good. I can see him making the playoffs, maybe that 6th or 7th seed in the AFC.
Yeah, I definitely think the Browns are a playoff caliber team. I think the AFC North is pretty much a lock to deliver 3 playoff teams, especially with the expanded seeding where you've got 7 teams instead of 6. You know, they're the Browns. They've never been a particularly good run, well-run organization, but this is kind of a coach-slash-quarterback league, and right now you've solved at least one of those things in Kevin Stefanski. He is great. He has been coaching this team well. He has brought a good culture over there. There's not been that much drama as there was with Freddie Kitchens last year. The real question is quarterback Baker Mayfield, because he's had some great games, and he's had some awful games. And I think part of the key to this is going to be not necessarily using the running game to cover up for him necessarily, but to sort of augment him, to sort of help him out, set him up for some play action, set him up for some more spacing down the field. I think if you can kind of get those two humming in harmony and you don't have just games that are all Baker or all the run game, I think this team could be really deadly. And I think the defense needs a little bit more chemistry. They need to mesh a little bit better, but I agree. They've got Miles freaking Garrett, who is a top 3 edge rusher in this league, and you've got Denzel Ward, who has been basically a shutdown corner, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, I love this team moving forward. I think they could be a Super Bowl contender in a year or two. I think they need their playoff experience. They need to take their lumps this year and come back stronger, hungrier next year.
Yeah, I definitely think the Browns are trending in the right direction. I do, however, worry about Baker Mayfield as a player. You know, he hasn't been consistent like we've expected him to, and you know, taking a quarterback that high and expecting him to be that franchise guy, he's been good, but he hasn't been good every game. And a lot of these primetime games, like looking at their schedule, they got blown out by the Ravens and the Steelers. You know, they beat the Colts, the Reds, or the football team, and the Cowboys, but you know, tough losses to the Steelers, 38-7 and 38-6 to the Ravens, which now a loss to the Raiders. It's just these big games that you'd have to see them in winning in the playoffs. I just don't see them really being competitive. And maybe they do get in because of the expanded playoffs, but it's just tough to see this offense led by Baker Mayfield now, no OBJ, even if you say that he had targets forced to him and it might have altered their offense. You know, he's still an extremely athletic player who's going to give them better shots to win. So I don't know. I think I'm still a little bit skeptical of Baker Mayfield, and that therefore limits my, you know, thoughts on how far the Browns will go, but they're definitely trending in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, you're really going to take this first 8 weeks of season with a grain of salt, because it is the Browns, remind you. I mean, they have been terrible these past 20 years. So, I mean, this could just be just a false hope for the Cleveland fans, or it could be something good. Like we've said, they're trending in the right direction. They have that good system now. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch what they do without OBJ, but I am confident that they will definitely get that 7 seed.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm definitely with you there. I think a 7 seed Browns would still be a lot of fun to watch, and they could definitely take a win off of a greater team on any given week. I think they definitely have that, at least that level of upside. So now we're going to switch gears a little bit, talk about some of the biggest disappointments from the year, and I'm going to kick it off with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens passing game, all right? What the heck is up? Seriously, guys, like Lamar Jackson has just not looked that great as a passer, and we kind of give him a pass because he is a fantastic athlete. He is the best runner in the league, hands down, at the quarterback position, broke the record last year, was the MVP. We know this guy's talent. But the issue is he just can't hit the passes right now. He just isn't very accurate. He's making the right reads. He's playing very smartly. He just cannot give that team the second gear on offense that it really needs to play with the big boys. You know, they've lost to two AFC playoff teams in Kansas City and Pittsburgh, who were both very much able to expose the Ravens and force Lamar Jackson to beat them through the air. And then he couldn't do that. I don't really know what's up. You know, they could definitely get it right. They're really well coached. Lamar Jackson is a generational talent at the quarterback position. I trust him to get it right more than I trust him not to. But honestly, like, time is running out. This team needs to get in a groove. And maybe, you know, J.K. Dobbins is the answer to that. Maybe getting that run game a little bit more effective, because Mark Ingram's kind of looked washed recently. Maybe if you can get the run game going, it opens things up more for Lamar Jackson. But right now, I'm honestly kind of stumped by what's going on in Baltimore.
Yeah, totally. Lamar has not looked like the same player that he has been, or he was at least last year. And especially now, not only is he missing wide open targets, which is something that's very concerning, but he's not making reads correctly. You know, like last week against the Steelers, watching this game, he was throwing right into traffic multiple times. And that's just something that is very scary to watch, a quarterback that, you know, obviously is still going to work on his legs, but teams are going to prepare for him that way. And if they can force him to throw and you're seeing these reads that he's making, I'd much rather allow him to do that, you know, and stuff the box and put a couple spies out to make sure he's not going anywhere. And especially, you know, he just talked about this. I saw a quote where he was taking the blame for not giving Hollywood Brown the ball enough. You know, he's not giving Mark Andrews the ball a whole lot. And he has these weapons. He's just not finding them. He's not making reads. And I worry about a decision-making of a guy like this. You know, if he can't make these decisions on the fly as a quarterback, you know, that has to do that, moving out of the pocket, giving himself the option to run or throw. You know, I just don't – he doesn't look like the same guy that he has been. And they certainly have weapons. That defense is going to be able to carry them. You know, they're still 7-2. They're still a very, very good team. But in the playoffs, when they play teams like the Chiefs and, you know, these other teams that are – and the Steelers that are definitely looking better than they are, I don't think they're going to be able to win if Lamar continues to play like this.
Yeah, I mean, if someone told me, you know, prior to the season that the Ravens would regress as a team, I'd definitely believe them. I think after seeing Lamar for a year, this league will definitely has definitely adjusted to him, being able to keep him in the pocket and, like Alex said, putting a couple of spies out there. If you contain Lamar in the pocket, he won't be able to beat you because he's just not been a good passer all his life. I mean, he's an unbelievably athletic quarterback, definitely one of the better athletic quarterbacks in the league, but his game relies around his running ability and able to scramble out of the pocket, and he's great out of the pocket. But when you keep that man in the pocket, he won't be able to find Hollywood Brown or Mark Andrews that well. So I think that John Harbaugh has to go back to the drawing board and figure out ways to incorporate Lamar's running game a little bit more. Maybe, you know, go to a more running heavy game like they have been doing, or that they develop more into a passer. They definitely have a lot of options. I definitely think the Ravens are still a great team, but they really do need to figure out what's going on with Lamar.
Yeah, definitely. That's really the difference between whether the Ravens are a first or second round out, or they're making a Super Bowl. And, you know, Lamar Jackson, we give him a lot of flack. He is so young, and no one knew what to do about him in his MVP year. So maybe this is just the growing pains of a young quarterback. You know, not everyone is going to play to the same standard of Patrick Mahomes, who came into the league has been basically like at or greater than the talent of an Aaron Rodgers since he has been playing. So I think Lamar Jackson, this does not spell the end for him as a top five quarterback by any means. I would still feel very good with him at quarterback for my franchise. It's just for this year, they are kind of in win-now mode with that defense, which has some older pieces. And with a young offense that they haven't really had to pay yet, Marquise Hollywood Brown is going to get his. Mark Andrews is going to get his. So this is kind of the window to contend before you hand Lamar Jackson and all those other guys massive contracts. So I can kind of see the worries that might be there in Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we are giving Lamar a lot of slack. He did just win an MVP. So, you know, this could be growing pains, like you said, and it's only 8 weeks into the season. He can definitely improve. And I do think the Ravens are a top five team in the AFC and definitely will make a playoff push for the Super Bowl this year. But moving on, talk about my Patriots. And this is definitely a painful topic for me to talk about. I mean, this dynasty has just been crumbling so quickly. It's just been so much pain watching these Patriots play. And they gave us so much promise for the first 3 weeks of the season. They look great against the Dolphins. They look great against the Seahawks, even though losing, and against the Raiders. And I thought, wow, like they could definitely make another push for a Super Bowl maybe in the next few years to develop Jared Stidham. But no, they keep finding bogus ways to lose. I mean, against the Seahawks, they had that awful run call on the 1 yard line. Josh Daniels would be fired for that. Against the Chiefs, they had terrible clock management in the red zone and just terrible play calls in general. Granted, Cam Newton did have COVID. We had a backup in, but still. And against the Bills, Cam Newton just cannot fumble in the end zone. That is just unacceptable. You have to hold on to the football. If you really need to go out of bounds, go out of bounds. You don't need to play hero ball in the fourth quarter. Just do what you need to do. Do your job. And he really didn't. And I have been spoiled with 18 years of unbelievable football and just an unbelievable dynasty with Tom Brady. And I definitely believe I am spoiled. But it has just been so hard to watch the Pats just crumble. I mean, they have to be perfect on every single drive to even get a field goal. I mean, they just look lost out there. They look like they have no hope, no energy, no drive. And it's terrible to see. I really think that their future is looking a little gloomy because I think Bill Belichick really isn't a good GM. And people are definitely going to argue against me for that in New England. But I really think he's not made some great moves, especially drafting. And I really think that they're not able to tank for Trevor this year. Because, you know, they already have 2 wins and they'll probably catch a couple in the next, you know, couple weeks or so. And they have not a lot of cap space and they did nothing at the trade deadline. So I really think that the next few years are going to be a lot of pain for New England fans.
Yeah. Firstly, I want to just say, you know, how amazing it is to see the Patriots lose a few games. Being a Jets fan, haven't seen this in a long, long time. But, you know, they're down there with us. But Patriots are certainly not the same team that they were with Tom Brady. And say what you want about whether it's Belichick or Brady that actually made that system. But this team is not the same. Cam Newton is being forced to try and make plays every time, and he's not able to do that. You know, that's a pretty impossible situation to put him in, especially when he's not known for his arm. And, you know, if teams are planning for this run game, you know, they're giving the ball to, you know, a lot of different running backs, whether that's James White, Damien Harris, or Rex Burkhead, whatever. But they don't have a lot of options receiver-wise. Edelman's been invisible. And, you know, N'Keal Harry hasn't looked like what they expected him to. So that offense is just not in a position that it used to be in. And then on defense, you know, they have a lot of linebackers that went down or that have, you know, opted out. And then Stephon Gilmore has been terrible. They tried to shop him at the deadline and they got no callers. So, or not necessarily no callers, but no one that was giving them the asking price that they were going for. So this team is certainly not where they were last year, and they've gone all out to win these past couple seasons. So this isn't something like, you know, that we totally didn't expect, but this Patriots team is trending on its way down.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely nice to see the evil empire finally collapse. You know, good on Tom Brady and Belichick for winning so many rings, but you know, every dynasty has its day. The San Antonio Spurs, the Golden State Warriors, although they're not done yet, the Dallas Cowboys of the 90s, all these different dynasties had to come to an end at some point, and this one got 6 rings. So I think New England fans and even like football fans as a whole need to take a step back for a minute and just appreciate the magnitude of what just happened here. And in terms of this season, I kind of agree. It feels like a lost season. I think y'all are hating on Cam Newton a little too much. He was playing great first 2 weeks of the season. And I still think he could fetch a starter job somewhere, maybe as like a mid to lower tier starter. His run game is still fantastic. And I think his shoulder is still kind of working back from injury. He's got to kind of get back into the NFL game. He barely played last season. But I think this team just doesn't have depth. It doesn't have receivers. It doesn't really have any one consistent running back. It's just not really gelling on offense, and it's hard to watch. Whenever if red zone flips to the Patriots, it's just kind of painful. It's a little slow going. But I think this team can kind of rebuild on the fly. They've retooled their roster plenty of times. If you get a dedicated quarterback that fits the system to a T, I think this team could be right back in it in a couple of years. I think chin up, Pats fans. You've got a good GM. You've got a good coach, and you've got a great culture there. So one bad season isn't going to be the end of the world.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that, like you said, Aiden, that Cam Newton definitely still has potential. And I think that, you know, the Patriots might be able to be a 500 team this year, but it's very hard to just watch a team go 8-8 after doing so well over those 18 years. I would just rather see him tank, honestly. I mean, just make sure that they get a good rebuild going, because as much as I want him to come back, Tom Brady isn't coming back. They need a new quarterback. They need a new system. So we'll see. I mean, I am keeping a bit of optimism, but it does not look good for the Pats.
Yeah, definitely the Pats are not where they used to be. But now we'll go a little bit further down in the standings to the New York Jets, where I don't even know where to begin. You know, we got Adam Gase still here. Looks like he's calling plays out of Madden. It is just rough to watch. You know, it's like runs up the middle, a lot of screen plays that are going absolutely nowhere. And this QB guru who came out of Denver, you know, thought to be the guy behind Peyton Manning, it's pretty evident now that was totally not him. But, you know, trying to work with Sam Darnold and make him into this pocket passer, which he is just not looked like at all. You know, he's definitely regressed. He has not hit over 200 yards in a game all season. They have 4 offensive touchdowns. Le'Veon Bell wanted out. Robbie Anderson was not re-signed. You know, now he's being used properly in Carolina. He's a totally different guy. And this offense is just atrocious. Now, the reason that Gase, it seems that he's still here at this point, is because general manager Joe Douglas wants to go 0-16. He wants that number one pick for Trevor Lawrence. And he did just say last week that Darnold would be the franchise quarterback. But, you know, I think that's just something that he's obligated to say. But it seems like Jets are going all in for Trevor Lawrence and that number one pick. But, you know, I can't really speak on too much why Gase is still here, other than the fact that they want to lose. He's been awful and has recently even given play calling duties over to the offensive coordinator, which is pretty unheard of. But yeah, this team just looks pathetic. They're going nowhere. They're pretty terrible.
Yeah, it has definitely not been a good season in New York. Adam Gase is good for really 2 things, and as you mentioned, one of them is losing games. And the other is content for podcasters like us, because we get some pretty hilarious moments out of this team when they're being run as ineptly as this. And, you know, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to fix it, but I think if you can get him into the building alongside an actual competent coach, then we could start seeing some results. But God, you guys have angered like every single like free agent and star player you've had, you know, like Jamal Adams and Le'Veon Bell have both just like been complete duds in New York, not for their talent, but for their relationship with the organization. And now, like, man, you really got to protect like Quinnen Williams and Mekhi Becton, who are some franchise cornerstones. And it would be such a shame to see them walk out the door too. But, you know, as I mentioned, I love those 2 players. I would love to have them on any of my teams moving forward. So there are some pieces here. The defense was okay to competent last year. I think the coaching is one of the biggest issues. So if you can really kind of do what the New York Knicks need to do and really like commit to a rebuild and get a coach who isn't going to necessarily take you to a Super Bowl but will stabilize the team, then I think we could start seeing some results, and then we could start thinking a little bit bigger. All right, but if Trevor Lawrence is coming onto this team and Adam Gase is still the coach, he should fully pull an Eli Manning and ask for a trade to a better organization, because Adam Gase would ruin that kid.
Yeah, and I'm just going to build off that point about Adam Gase might be ruining Trevor Lawrence. I really think that Sam Darnold is a lot better than he has been on this Jets organization. He could definitely be a mediocre cornerback in another market, because he has great traits as a quarterback. I mean, coming out of USC, he had a great college career. And he has showed some promise in a lot of games, but I really think that Adam Gase has simply ruined this kid. I mean, there's definitely still some hope for him to salvage his NFL career. He could go on and be a journeyman or even, you know, get a good starting position at some team and make a couple playoffs. But I really think that Adam Gase has ruined a lot of players, like we said. And I've seen a few Jets games this year, and they're painful to watch. I put them at the same level of pain as a Patriots game because their offense is boring. They never move the ball around, and it's just downright awful to watch how bad these play calls are. And you can't even put the fault on the players because it's mostly Adam Gase calling these terribly designed play calls where you could have Jameson Crowder run a nice little slot, but instead they're throwing these weird screens. I mean, listen, I don't want to, like, you know, jump the gun and say, like, look, like, you know, maybe Adam Gase could be good on another team, but I really think
he's a terrible coach.
I think he should be done, period.
Yeah, Adam Gase is god-awful. There's no reason that guy should be coaching a football team. He should not be coaching a college team, a high school team, or a peewee team. There is no reason that man should be anywhere near the game of football anymore. I don't know why he was still, you know, thought of as reasonable to coach a team after he was with the Dolphins. And he's completely ruined Sam Darnold. You guys talked about it. I think Darnold will see him in a few years on another team where he's definitely in a position to win and he's winning games for a team. But, you know, obviously he's in an impossible situation now. I don't blame him. I blame Adam Gase. And, you know, there's no other way to say this.
I love the image of his kids, like, saying, can I play baseball instead? Because they just don't want to be taught by Adam Gase. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this episode of Taketown. We've discussed some pretty crazy narratives, and we're all really excited to see what happens to the rest of the NFL season. You know, we've heard about a 16-team playoff tournament if the season has to end early, and wow, that would be insane, right, guys? Like, I would love to see that.
Oh, for sure. That would be awesome to watch. Like, I saw the headline. I didn't really read into it, but 16 teams will be fun. Maybe the pass could make the playoff. We'll see. So I like the 16-team playoff.
Second half surge. Anyway,
we'll see.
Thank you guys all for listening. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode. Until then, take care, and thanks again for listening.